You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Liza.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers.
We're here today with Connie Siskowski. Am I saying that right, Connie?
You sure are.
Oh,
nice
yay.
Job.
Who is the founder and president of the American Association of Caregiving Youth, which was founded in 1998 with the mission to provide volunteer support for people who were homebound and caregiving families. The nonprofit evolved to become the AACY. It is the only organization in the U.S. that focuses solely on supporting the more than 5 million caregiving youth.
So that number blew me away when we were getting prepared for today to see that 5 million youth are caregiving for family members. So Connie, I want to welcome you here, and I really would appreciate if you could tell us what drove you to create this organization and tell us about some of the stuff that you are doing. Please.
Sure. And I just want to comment too that that 5 million plus number doesn't include children who are in single parent households or with single grandparents. So that number is much more. And I just got an email this morning from a press release where there has been a formal request to the GAO to do another national study, because the only real study that focuses on these children nationally was released in 2005. So as a child, I was in middle school when I began caring for my grandfather. My parents were divorced. Okay. My mom worked two jobs. I had a brother, I still have a brother, who wasn't really, it wasn't his gift, nor was it the gift of my grandmother. But my grandfather and I were really close. He was my hero. He worked until he was like 84. And then his health was declining. And I just, you know, kind of naturally stepped up to the plate to help him in any way that I could. But, you know, I was 11 at the time, and then 12, and then 13. And I wasn't really prepared to provide any personal care. He was a large man. I mean, he's 6 foot. So, like, assisting him with mobility, and we didn't have any appliances, was hard. But I think the hardest thing for me was, like, I was worried about him, right? So I moved into our living room to be closer to their bedroom.
Aww.
And so that I could take him his medicine at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so in March of 1960, I went to take him his 2 o'clock medicine, and his skin was cool and he was no longer breathing.
Aww.
So in addition to that trauma, you know, I lost my hero.
Right.
So I didn't have him in my life anymore. And I think, you know, that hasn't been fully appreciated. And it really wasn't until I was in counseling as an adult that it was pointed out to me.
Interesting. So, that was something that really marked a form of trauma for you.
Right. And so that's why, you know, we really want the trauma involved in caregiving by a child to be included in the national effort called ACEs, or Adverse Childhood Experiences.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point, because not only did you have the extra responsibilities of being the person who was getting up in the middle of the night and giving him his medicine, and like you said, really attending to the personal care in a consistent manner, you were also a grandchild. So you had your caregivee and your grandfather, your hero, pass. And that had to be really complicated, more than it might be for somebody who's losing a grandparent without having that caregiving relationship.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you step it and you don't really realize the impact until later. So professionally, I did really well. I went on to become a cardiac nurse. He had a heart condition, you know, and then I did other things across the healthcare spectrum. So it really influenced my professional life and some of my decision making in my personal life. I would say was not on target.
And that's understandable. So what then got you to the point where you created this organization? And can you explain what the organization is again, please? I know there's a lot of acronyms in the world, but we don't always understand each other's acronyms.
So our American Association of Caregiving Youth It exists to support, to identify and support this population okay. of children who on a regular basis provide care for a family member who's ill or injured or elderly or disabled.
Okay.
And so under it, we have a program which was started a few years ago called the Caregiving Youth Institute. And that seeks to connect and advocate and research and educate. And then we also have a growing affiliate network and some national partnerships.
Wow. Would you mind breaking that down even more in like a specific sense? So if I was somebody that wanted to participate in the Institute or knew somebody who should participate, what would they actually be doing?
Well, so the Institute, we've started having what we call U.S. Caregiving Youth Connect to connect kids with each other.
Oh, good.
From an advocacy perspective, you know, there's the majority of legislation today federally is attached to the Older Americans Act. Mm-hmm. And so there's age discriminators. Mm-hmm. And in effect, these children have reverse age discrimination because there's no legislation currently to support them or no funding.
Sure.
And so that's been one of the challenges of expansion is that if you know, live in Oklahoma or Arkansas or wherever, you don't have foundations, you don't have state support, you don't have federal support, so that organizations like even yours that exist to support adult caregivers don't have a place to go to get extra dollars to support this population. And then we're involved in several research projects with various universities because the body of knowledge in our country regarding this population is very scant. And then, you know, from an educational perspective. So like you said, you're a teacher, but there was no place in my curriculum as a nurse, or I bet yours as a teacher, to talk about caregiving youth.
Definitely
and
not.
And so, you know, until we are able to lay that foundation, lay that groundwork, and provide that in curriculum, the process is going to continue to take a while. I've really discovered in this journey that government moves at a snail's pace. And I keep saying, we've been on a slow snail. So, yeah. You know, speed up that snail a little.
A snail's pace if they move at all, right?
Yeah.
Well, this topic hits close to home for our family because my husband was raised by a single mother who had cancer not once but twice before he was 13 years old. And I'm sure that he would have benefited greatly from some of your services. Can you tell us how youth can get connected, and are there opportunities to support youth outside of your home state of Florida?
Sure. So I'll talk first about our direct services, which are in Palm Beach County, Florida, and we work in partnership with the schools. And that's because that's where the kids are. Mm-hmm. So we identify them beginning in sixth grade, and then we've developed a curriculum. So we have skills building groups in school to focus on some of the life skills. It's the first time, like, I bet your husband felt like he was all alone. I know I felt like I was all alone. Other kids do too. And so this is the first time in sixth grade that they meet another peer who's also a caregiver. Sure. We've had kids live across the street from each other. And, you know, the work that they do is like behind closed doors. People don't know. And then we do lunch and learn sessions. So your husband's mom had cancer. Yeah. And, you know, what we find is that, like, the top 10 diagnoses among care receivers very much fits the general population, which is what we should expect.
Sure.
And so cancer is really up there. And cancer is kind of unique because it has so many uncertainties, unknowns, you know, is it going to come back? Is she going to die? And then we do a home visit. And that home visit is really important because not only can we see what's going on in the family, but also to see if there's other special needs that can strengthen the family and reduce the load on the child. Mm-hmm. So like a boy complained about his back hurting when we did a home visit they lived in a single family home, and the stoop was kind of high. And so his brother was bedbound. They'd have to put him from his bed to the wheelchair and then lift him down the steps, he and his single mom.
Oh, wow.
And so no wonder his back was hurting. So then we were able to find a volunteer who got the supplies and built. And, you know, when your stoop is high, you have to have a long ramp. You can't have, you know, one with an acute angle. And so not only then did this help them physically, but now the student could stay after school a little while. He didn't have to rush home to be there when his mom got home from work to get his brother into the house.
Sure.
And, you know, we've had other things with mold. We've helped with mold. I could go on and on, but so we do special projects. And then we also do fun activities because the kids need time to be kids. They need to have respite. So again, when we do the home visit, we see, you know, is there a need for respite, which we have. It's youth focused. So some kids may not mind giving medications or doing the caregiving tasks, but maybe one of the responsibilities is cleaning and they hate to clean the house. And so we're working with a couple of different companies to give them the relief of cleaning the house, you know, whatever can give a break. And then it's so important to have fun time with other kids. You meet kids in other schools too. So your world grows. You're not alone in your own school. You're not alone in the county. And so, in other states, if somebody reaches into us, we will try and find resources within the community that they live to see Wow. what we can do to help them. One of the things that we do in high school is because we recognize that these children are really doing work at home. Many of the school districts require community service hours. So we've just awarded a student in Maryland community service hours for the work that she's doing to care for her brother who has juvenile diabetes.
Wow, that is wonderful.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And so when we come back, Connie, I can't wait to hear some more examples of what's been happening and hear what we can do to help support these guys. So you are all listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we'll be back in just a moment to continue talking with Connie and Caregiving Youth.